Good morning, Camp K! This is your morning muster with me, DJ Crooner. It's time to get you squared away for the day with your morning inspection. Be sure to check those gig lines and keep an eye out for those Irish pendants, because guess what? Today, you'll meet your new platoon officer. So be sure to iron those military creases into your skivvies. Blackwater Redux is an Eberron adventure written by Christian Eichhorn and is available on DM's Guild. Once again, before we get started, we have to state our content warning disclaimer. There are some heavy military humor elements in our playthrough. This means that some elements might get too intense and/or offensive. Listener discretion is advised. In the last episode, the troops rescued just one survivor from hungry cannibals. This time around, they're getting some help from Second Lieutenant DiPaolo, who is being played by Andrew from the First Watch podcast. Hopefully we don't lose him out in the field. The target audience for this playthrough is for those who are serving or did serve in the military. This episode is made by military for military. And if you happen to be active duty and deployed and listening to our podcast, let us know on Twitter so we can give you a shout out on our show. The last thing we need to mention is to remember that we're all people. It doesn't matter how you identify as long as you can use your weapon. Because when it comes to Blackwater Redux, you just might need they, them, she, he next to you to make it home in time for Liberty Call.
And so currently the boat is going back towards base. Okay, hold on. Let's play this out a little bit. So you're back at sick bay. First thing you see is Hallie. And she looks up and she looks over at Merlina. Whoa, you look like crap. And Rock, you look like you've seen some stuff, but, you know, whatever, dude. Anyway. Oh, Krugvar, here, get him on the stretcher. Get him over here right now. Everyone gets him over there. And she just starts going to work and everything. Gee, guys, thank you so much. Did anyone ever happen to get any of the stuff that I was looking for earlier?
Yeah, here's a list.
Well, she takes it, looks at Rock, and she just looks back at the list. Yeah, sure, whatever. And then just throws you a piece of crumbled up parchment.
Thank you.
Yeah, whatever. Get out of here.
Hallie, was that not what you were looking for? I thought you were looking for that stuff.
Oh, well, of course. It's just, you know, Thelion, come on. I mean, I can't stand Rock. He's the total tool.
He's nice enough. I mean, he's gotten us out of a tough spot every once in a while. I can give him a break.
She's still unhappy I didn't get her the stuff the first mission. At least I remembered it.
Can't win them all, right?
I thought that was the lunch lady. I thought we got all the plants that she was looking for.
Nah, still looking for more stuff. There's a lot of things out there. I'm still documenting.
Well, there are a lot of plants.
So,
well, Hallie, if there's anything else you need, just let us know. We'll try to keep you stocked up, because you've always taken real good care of us.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Thelion, for you, anything at all. Anything you need at all.
Oh, no, for you, Hallie. For you.
Aw, shucks.
And try to be nice to that Vorg character. He almost got eaten by cannibals.
You don't say. Wow, I have a lot to talk to him about. Like, I wonder what if the cannibals described whatever they ate. And so she just kind of keeps rambling on.
Well, actually, I do say. I said they were cannibals.
And so, yeah, so then all of you start walking out. And what do you want to do?
I should probably turn in this little extra bits of this map that I filled out. So I'm going to head to the lieutenant.
Okay. So whenever you get back into the command tent, so everyone goes back to see Lieutenant Blunt. He's just standing in front of you. He's at his table. He's got the map laid out of whatever he could piece together. And over by the lieutenant, you see him talking to this very short, very stout individual. You see what appears to be like a little boy almost, wearing his fatigues, strapped on with a longbow and a rapier. If you can imagine that together, and also has himself a little arrow-catching shield. And he just
I see child labor laws haven't taken into effect in this region yet.
It's like, all right, Second Lieutenant, welcome to the outfit. There are your boys right there. And then everyone sees Kallus DiPaolo turn around and take a look at all three of you.
Thank you, sir. Won't let you down. All right, men, I'm Second Lieutenant DiPaolo. Line up.
Like, okay. In a circle?
If you want, a circle's fine. Sure.
You gonna be in the middle of the circle and tell us what to do with some hand gestures?
I should, sir. Right. And so I'll step into the middle of this impromptu circle that has been made in my honor.
You're doing a great job, too. I'll be sure to get you a juice box.
Oh, it might be a little too much sugar this late in the day.
You have diasweetis.
Yes. So, I'm the new commanding officer. Why don't you all get me up to speed on your current objectives and what we're working on today?
We are working on getting some new weapons, but we're having some problems at the armory, and they said that they needed our commanding officer to go talk to them to get us some better weapons, sir.
Oh, I see.
I'm playing, but that's not really what happened. I'm just playing, pulling your leg. Oh. We're fine. We're good. We just got back from a mission.
I see. And I just kind of like get really flustered and like turn back to Lieutenant Blunt as if to say like, what do I do next?
All right. Next objective. There's some intel saying that there's some kind of settlement upstream. And if you can, please secure an alliance. And give me that cartography going, too, whenever you can.
Yes, sir. Can do, Chief.
Yes, sir. Which one of you is the cartographer?
That would be me, Yuzul Kor.
All righty. So I will just start, like, with purpose, kind of holding my weapons tight to me, head held high, start walking out of the tent and heading in a direction. I don't know where I'm going.
Second Lieutenant.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And you see Lieutenant Blunt go over to one of the treasure troves of crap that he has right there. You see him dig his robotic arm into this one crate, pulls out this little bag, throws it over your way. This might come in handy.
I catch it.
That is all.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'll peek in the bag real quick to see what it is.
You see a handful of stones, just smooth circular stones.
Do they mean anything to me? Do they seem magical or?
They don't seem magical. You're more than welcome to roll an arcana check or.
I'll do that real quick. My arcana is not great, but oh, that's a 20.
With a 20, you know, you just got back from OCS, so you know that these are ascending stones.
Mm, gotcha.
Hey, so y'all are walking out of the tent?
Yep.
Okay, so as everyone's walking out of the tent, everyone starts to fall in line and everything, and then Second Lieutenant Deep Hollow, you see the new arrivals showing up off the shore there, and you see this one that sticks out from everybody else, this big old sumbitch. You can tell right from the get-go it's a half-orc in appearance. Well, I'll let him describe what he looks like. Magnus Ironside?
Okay, Magnus Ironside is 6 feet tall, green skin, deep blue eyes, but with a sort of piercing set of rings around his pupils that are bright yellow. You look at him and you're just like, yeah, that guy's a barbarian. Like, he is there to fight. And he seems to fit the bill just completely in terms of his visual aesthetics. But there's something that you're not anticipating about him.
He could come in handy when it comes to dealing with those other half-orcs that we dealt with before.
Indeed he could.
Want to see if he wants to go along with us?
That's a good call. Make it a lot easier. I mean, it was sheer luck that they were druids as far as I'm concerned. But if we had a half-orc, it might be better to communicate with them.
Yeah, but we speak druid.
Just a bit druish.
Just a bit?
And really help us carry more loot back.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay, as y'all are talking, Leica Kruber comes walking past, and you just see her looking over a bunch of scrolls that she has, a bunch of parchment, and then she looks over at Magnus, and she goes, oh, right, that's the new recruit. Hey, guys, I put in a special request to home base. Yeah, he's with y'all. And she just keeps walking by.
Well, that works in our favor.
Thank you.
Yep, just remember, you owe me.
Oh, what?
I promise nothing. So what do you do?
Oh, excuse me, I'm terribly sorry. Hi, I smash things. I'm a big barbarian. I'm so glad to finally meet you guys. I've been wondering when am I going to be put in a new outfit already, and now I'm here.
Well, welcome.
Nice to meet you.
We could use a person of your stature.
I like your enthusiasm, recruit.
Well, thank you, sir. I'm very happy to be here.
All right.
Okay, and so everyone's all caught up. And is everyone ready to take off, or you want to sleep it all away, or what do you all want to do? Leave in the middle of the night?
I said we leave it up to the sir.
Well, I would say that Second Lieutenant Deep Hollow would want his troops to get a good night's sleep, and then we would strike out first thing in the morning, early.
Thank you. I only had 10 hit points left.
Yep.
So, crack of dawn.
Roger.
Okay, so everyone wakes up at the crack of dawn, and you get on your patrol boat again, and everyone starts taking off.
Have we named our patrol boat yet?
You have not.
It's not good. That's bad
the
luck.
The Deliverance.
Oh.
Whoa. Was that
no.
it?
No. 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 No, that's not good.
That's not
never.
Good.
No. No. Never.
All right. Kraken. We can name it the Kraken.
The Kraken.
That's better.
So, next objective is investigating the settlement. Everybody ships out that next morning. How about Andrew? Roll me a D10, please.
Ready. That is a 9.
A 9? And so I guess you've been out on the water for about an hour, and immediately you do see some sharks swimming up and down a little bit, and you see something you swear you see, like a pair of legs, then 4 legs, then 6 legs, then 8 legs, and then nothing, and then 4 legs, then 8 legs, and then nothing. And it keeps happening very, very chaotically, very naturally, but it's far away.
As if something's like churning the water up, or like am I seeing a body along with it?
Neither. You see this up in the trees of the jungle. Maybe some vines and everything.
Gotcha. All right, men, keep a sharp eye out. Seems that we've got something following along with us on the shoreline.
I would like to make a perception check to see if I can figure out what it is.
All right, roll that natural 1.
Okay. Wait. Oh, that's bad. No, I rolled a 19 total.
And Rock.
I got a 21.
Okay, so thanks to Second Lieutenant DiPaolo's orders, both of you see a pair of phase spiders coming in and out of existence in the plane. But they're far enough away that the boat is easily maneuvering around them, giving them a wide berth, and nothing happens.
Thank goodness.
Make sure I fully report that up so I'm not the only one. So,
and I'll mark this down on the map.
Very good.
Good call there, Exocor.
All right, so you keep moving on, and again, you're able to detect things here and there, and because there's it either has something to do with the three of you having already seen some shit before, or the fact that you also got some more eyes and more ears all around you, or it could also be the amazing leadership by Second Lieutenant DiPaolo, or the intimidation of Magnus Ironside's stature. But yeah, for the rest of the trip, it's fairly quiet. Plus, it's very early in the morning, so you do hear some animals and beasts out in the distance, but nothing disturbing. And then coming around a bend in the river, you spot figures in the Blackwater. Looking closely, you recognize several goblins who wade on stilts through the river. They thrust long and delicate spears into the murky waters to produce grotesque fishes. In the background, you see 2 water wheels slowly turning in the river's current. There is activity in the trees and on the shore, hinting at a settlement. What do y'all want to do?
Slow down. Slow this boat down. I don't want to come in rushing in like we're meaning some bad business.
And who's driving?
I am. I slow the boat down.
So you tell yourself to slow down?
Yeah.
Likes talking to himself just to hear himself talk.
Hey, we got to get that audio somehow.
Duck on it. People like me.
Okay, so the one-man crew plays all the crew parts.
Marcus is just standing at the front of the boat. You know, he doesn't really like to go under because he gets seasick, so he needs the horizon.
Okay, so this is really important. Is he standing with one leg up or on the or both legs planted?
I suppose, you know, like an adventurer, he's got one leg raised and just sort of sitting right at the fore of the boat, and he looks like he's full of confidence, but really it's all for show.
And in the background, Second Lieutenant DiPaolo is trying to inconspicuously mimic that same pose. He finds it quite inspiring, but doesn't want to see
it. Awesome. Okay. What languages does everybody speak?
Common, Druidic, Gnomish, Infernal, Undercommon.
Common, Draconic, Druidic, and Undercommon.
Common and Halfling.
And Common and Orc.
I speak Common, Elvish, and Goblin.
All right, so as everyone's approaching, guys, you hear... And let's see, Philion, you hear...
Holy shit, there's one of them. There's a boat right here. I think that's called a boat. It's cooler looking than ours. Oh, I hope they'll let us drive it one day. Anyway, maybe we should report this over to our shaman.
And you just see them all pointing and just waving.
Hey guys, wave back friendly like.
Okay. rock just kind of starts waving.
I steer the boat in their direction. I drive casually, and I try to speak back to them as loudly as I can. Do you mind if we come up and ask you guys some questions?
That's not going to work, dude. You got to talk like Goblin.
That wasn't Goblin. Nobody else understood me, right, guys?
Huh?
I have no clue.
See?
I didn't hear shit.
Exactly.
I'm listening to the words being spoken, but I turn to Lieutenant DiPaolo, and I'm like, ah, yes, that is the sound of culture.
It was all in Goblin. I don't know how you got it, Paul.
Everyone's just smiling wave, boys.
Yep,
pretty much. Just hearing consonants and vowels.
Except for the lizard folk, I erect a spine of greeting.
Okay, so then they point at the lizard folk, and they're just like, and then, Dillion, you hear,
oh, look, they have a two-legged pet.
Axel Corr, they think you're some kind of god. Can we come in and ask you guys some questions?
Yes, absolutely, but we have to notify our shaman. She would love to hear what you guys have to say.
Sounds good.
Yeah, just throw us the ropes, and we will gladly tie you off, and we can come right on in.
All right, I steer the boat over there nonchalantly. Hey, guys, get ready with the lines. They're going to tie us up. He's going to go get the shaman, Ixel Kerr. Just stand there and look pretty.
Oh, that will not be a problem.
Yeah.
All right, so then everyone...
I lick my eyes.
All right, so everyone, you're tied off. You're on the shore, and you see, you know, obviously some of the goblins run off, and they disappear. But you also see quite a few of them running up and just kind of oohing and aahing at all of you. Ixel Corr, you do see a lot of kids around you, like they're very interested in you, and you see them trying to run their hands over your back and on your sides and on your arms and everything. Not really trying to do anything, but just have this natural, you know, childish curiosity about you.
Yes, I suppose you little ones can make physical contact with my inherent superiority.
It's a sign of worship. Just let him go. He's tame. He's not going to bite.
We just fucked him up with that one, guys.
Damn, that was good.
Oh, boy. All right. And then so, Rock, what are you doing, man?
After I threw the lines over, I'm going to ask Delian to let him know, hey, do you think they'll mind if I look right over here on the shore for some of these plants that Hallie was wanting?
I'll ask. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I'm just going to very cautiously and carefully walk over to the edge. I'm just looking. I don't want to pick anything. I just pull up my little notebook and I'm just jotting stuff down based on what I see.
Okay. Roll a nature check.
And that would be 17.
Ooh, with a 17, this might be enough not to get her pissed off at you anymore.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, just let me pause for a second. Ixel Corr, Thelion, Rock, why don't y'all describe your characters real quick for our guests?
Okay. Rock is a gnome druid, kind of short, stocky, dark skinned, kind of hails from the deep section of the gnomes, and just kind of really like nature. So...
I am Ixel Corr. I am a lizard folk druid of the Circle of Spores. Before I joined the military, I was a rot farmer.
Thelion is he's an elf, and he's not a bard. He's a ranger now. He joined, and that's what he did. Pretty much good-natured kind of guy, likes getting along with everybody. Yeah, that's me. Oh, devilishly handsome. Like, really good looking. No, it's not. It's like, wait a minute. He really is.
Is it like anime style handsome or?
More so. Like, wow. If you were to like do anime style and then do like an order of magnitude of that, you would have Thalion, maybe.
I mean, like, he was a bard, and then he joined the military. Like, I'm getting some serious, like, K-pop vibes from this dude right now.
Hey, you want to throw down some tunes?
Apparently, I can sing. I've already proven that one.
So that's Thalion.
Okay. And so everyone is just kind of hanging out there for a second. A quick overview. You can see a mud pit area. You do see like all these little shanty type houses on the ground. You do see like a bonfire area with these big old drums all around it. And the cool thing about this place is that you also see up in the treetops all this other housing, like Ewok style. You see little ladders going up. You even see these elevators going up and down. And Second Lieutenant DiPaolo, can you roll me a history check?
That is a 5.
Okay, with a 5, you're not really sure how, but you can immediately tell that the mills that are in the water are somehow moving these elevators up and down. With a 5, you can tell that's what's going on, but with a 5, you don't know how they make it happen.
Sure. I'll begin trying to get, you know, one of the goblins in conversation, obviously just hand gestures and whatnot to learn more information, but probably not gleaning much without the language.
Roll me an intelligence check.
15.
With a 15, you can actually do that, just with simple sign language gestures, and you find it very easy to communicate with the goblins. You can tell that they really want to communicate with you, and they're very patient with you as you do that.
Mm, awesome.
Magnus, could you roll me an investigation check?
Sure, but just before I do that, Magnus is watching the lieutenant hand gesturing with the locals, and he's just kind of getting lost in thought, looking at the hands, and then looks at his own, looks over at Rock, the locals, and just outwardly mumbles to himself, "I wonder how many of these tiny people I could lift with both hands." That was a 15.
All right. With a 15, you can see that there is one goblin.
And I forgot to add a modifier to it. Which stat was it?
Oh, investigation.
Then we're good. It's still 15.
Okay, so over by where you see the fire and the drums, you see an expansive fireplace that lies in a clearing right there within the village. And these drums are surrounding the fire. They're spanned with thick hides in perfect condition. Close around the fire sit several goblins who prepare fresh meat on long skewers. With that, you can tell that there is one amongst them that looks to be not necessarily the alpha, but definitely, you know, he's eating his Wheaties. You know, he's corn fed. He's a bigger goblin. Yeah, and with that score, I mean, you're a half orc. You're well versed in a lot of orcish culture, and you know that sometimes they get in with goblin culture. You can tell that this is a goblin boss. He's a big badass. He's definitely a hunter of sorts.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just gonna point. I walk over to the lieutenant and just I try to gently nudge him in the shoulder, but really it's more like I've just hip and shouldered him by mistake.
Yes.
I believe the gentleman you should be speaking to is that muscular goblin over there. You see him, the one that defines biceps, kind of like mine, but not as awesome.
I do. Thalion, could you translate for us?
Yeah, of course I can. I mean, sure, let's do it. Do we want to wait for the shaman, though? Because first person said they were going to get the shaman, and they probably make a lot of the same calls that Beef Eater over there could make as well.
I agree that is the correct course of action. We will wait for the shaman.
Okay. But yeah, let's go get that guy's attention. He seems cool. Magnus, could you arm wrestle him?
Oh, I thought you would never ask.
Yes, I did ask. How cool would that be? And we can like make a wager. We're like, anybody got any grains or something? What do you guys take for a wager in an arm wrestling contest?
We would actually wouldn't mind setting up some kind of commerce of some kind or something, because what we're really trying to do is, you know, get in with some of the people that are around here. I mean, obviously, we're just simpletons here, but I think it's in our best interest just to kind of, you know, possibly set up some kind of something, a mutual symbiotic relationship.
I relay all of that to Second Lieutenant DiPaolo.
Oh, excellent. That is exactly what we are supposed to be doing. Could you begin to discuss details of what we might be trading with them?
What do you want to give them, sir?
He thinks for a moment.
What about medicine stuff?
Yeah, we could provide them with medical care for sure.
Yeah, maybe we could ask them.
Farm.
Yeah. Ooh, perfect. Maybe we could ask them for some of their technology, like their cool elevators.
And trying to figure out how those work, and they're quite ingenious. Yes.
But if they just tell us, then we don't have to figure it out anymore.
Also true.
What do you think, sir? Is this a good plan?
I think this is an excellent plan.
Okay, I'm going to translate that to the best of my ability. Goblin is not exactly a one-for-one thing. Elevator. Okay, elevator is a pretty straight translation.
Pretty good, though. So they just look at you and they say, which translates to,
No, we really gotta wait for the shaman. She has the final say.
And then they say,
oh, look, here comes Bloom.
And walking towards y'all is that hunter goblin boss. Walks right over to Magnus. And Thelion, you hear him say,
I want to challenge this beast to a hunt.
Magnus, he wants to challenge you to a hunt.
Oh, wunderbar. Okay, what kind of hunt are we talking about? The one with the bows or the ones where I used my great axe? You see it? It's really great.
I translate to Bloom. What kind of hunt?
He just smiles real big. And that translates to,
whoever brings back the biggest game.
I just immediately... Oh, wait, so has this been translated yet, or...?
Yes, I translate it immediately. Okay.
I just immediately do kind of like that Predator-style hand clasp with the goblin, just like, yes! Oh, like, shit, there's no words, just clasps.
The greatest day of my life. Second Lieutenant Deep Hollow begins to try to pull their hands apart. Like, oh, no, I don't think that's a good idea. No, that's recruit, that's not why we're here.
Sir, you can't undo that.
Oh, wait a minute, you're doing that with the goblin? I thought you were just doing it with yourself.
No, do it with the goblin. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
No, yeah, not just hand clasping myself. No, it's just this is a bond.
It's awesome. Something Adiago would do.
Rock walks over to Second Lieutenant and goes, sir, this one's way outside of our league. This is a good situation for us and a bonding between the two cultures.
I turn to the second lieutenant and I'm just like, my lieutenant, I think of it this way. This is like a community outreach.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it's the two cultures helping each other out, engaging with one another. It's much like your commerce situation over there. I hear things.
I see.
And then I chime in. And they see me as God, and the gods must appease.
Yes. Yes, they do.
And as soon as you're talking, the kids all giggle and laugh, and they run around you.
Behold, little ones. Divinity.
All right, well, if it's going to help us establish good relations, then yes, recruit, you should partake in this hunt.
But let's wait for the shaman first. I mean, we'll do the hunt after we talk to the shaman.
Right. Shaman.
Translate that to the hunter, Bloom, that we're going to wait to talk to the shaman, and then we will commence with the hunt.
And that just means
your funeral.
And with that, from behind, up in the trees, you see there's one elevator slowly coming down, and you see this green light slowly coming down. And once the light comes down, and you see this older female goblin, and she looks over at all of you.
Ah, welcome to our humble home.
And she just bows deeply to all of you.
How deeply back?
Oh, we all bow back. Or at least Deep Hollow does.
I bow, but I'm also still hand clapping.
We are greatly humbled by your hospitality and the acceptance of our lizard pet into your community.
And everyone understands her.
Oh, you do speak our language somewhat.
Oh! You just made fun of you. This is great. I love this costume.
It is loose, but I do.
I see you've met some of the locals here. You've met Bloom, the hunter.
Yes, very impressive. Sorry, Second Lieutenant, you should be talking.
Yes, well, thank you for welcoming us to your village. We are here on a peaceful diplomatic mission to establish trade and commerce with your fine village.
Oh, yes, yes. Very good, very good. So, you speak of commerce?
Indeed. We would be very interested in setting up some sort of alliance or trade with you.
Okay. Yeah. We definitely could work an accord. We only ask one thing.
What is that?
The undead. We ask that you get rid of them. Clear them out of here.
Undead. Undead, you say. Could you elaborate on that a bit?
Yes.
She points behind her. She gestures behind her with her hand.
Have you seen the sharpened poles all around Mugdor? The poles with the dead things. Usually the dead things come down the river, and they don't move. This time, they come by land. They eat my children, but we build poles. For now, we are safe. You must go into the forests, and the shrubs, and the reeds, and search for them for their home. Then you must destroy it. If you need help, search for Bloom. He is the best tracker.
I see. One moment, please. And I'll turn around and kind of like ask everyone to huddle up. Like, okay, everyone. Are undead a fairly common problem around here?
We haven't seen anything yet, sir, but that's not something we've been briefed into.
All right.
Do you have a problem with the undead, Lieutenant DePaolo?
No, of course not. Right. Well,
because, they're already dead, so their heads are kind of like already, ready for crushing. So it's actually really helpful.
Well, you guys might have a problem with the undead, but where I come from, we use them as basic laborers.
I see. And no one has a problem with taking care of this this little issue for the village in order to establish an alliance?
It sounds like an issue for all of us, really.
Yeah, I mean, if you make the decision, sir, we're gonna follow orders. That's what we do. But my question is, the shaman, should probably ask her name and introduce yourself. It's good protocol.
I didn't do that, did I?
No, you didn't. But it's okay. You can still save it. She mentioned that we go into the forest and the shrubs and kill it. Like, there was one thing. So we should find out what that is.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Okay, so I'll turn on my heel, and I, Second Lieutenant DePaolo, at your service, would very much like to help you with this undead problem. One point of clarification, if you would, good madam. You said it. Is it a singular creature?
No, there are many undead deep into the forest. Clear them, and we can have our accord.
Right. Turn back around, talk to everyone. Sounds like it's a lot. Deep in the forest. I suppose that's why we're here, then.
All right.
Does anyone have any preparations they need to make?
So everyone is standing in a circle?
Yeah, kind of huddled up together.
Okay, everybody needs to roll a dexterity saving throw.
Ooh, I got one of them.
We'll see if I have one of them.
Dirty 20.
I got a 5.
16.
Rock got a 15.
Lieutenant DePaul is going to fit right in with a natural 1.
Second Lieutenant, keeping it real. There we go.
Taking one for the team at the forefront. Good man.
Can I, with my dirty 20, can I try to back Lieutenant, Second Lieutenant DePaul up with whatever happens since he failed?
Sure.
Okay.
So roll a disadvantage. Roll an advantage, Second Lieutenant.
Okay. That is a 9.
Okay.
Better than a 1.
True. Although the 7 looks a lot like a 1. I was like, oh my God, I didn't just.
That's fucking teamwork.
All right. So then, Thelion, you immediately feel like a set of little bitty fingers creeping in your pocket. And you're able to like grab the hand, and you look down, and it's one of the little goblin kids, and you see her just smiling, this little like devious kind of smile. And when you open up your hand and see her hand, she's holding like little fish guts.
I pick her up. Ooga, I whisper. sneak as many of these into the lizard's pockets as you can. And I set her back down. And I don't think the lizard has pockets, so it's going to be really interesting to where fish guts get snuck into. But I make it sound really mean.
Everybody else, you immediately feel something squishy in your pockets or on your person, and you find fish guts.
Oh. I feed snake.
Oh, that's right. You have a snake. Totally forgot about that. Good call. Okay, roll a animal handling check.
And that would be a 19.
Oh, okay. You know what? I'm going to give that one to you. That's a pretty high roll. I've been keeping track of how many times you've been doing the animal handling checks. And so with that, you tamed the poisonous snake in your pocket.
Yes! Score!
Nice!
Honestly, which one of us doesn't have a tamed snake in his pocket?
Yes!
I don't.
But
it may not be a poisonous snake.
It's a constrictor.
Just so I understand, you've had a venomous snake in your pocket this whole time.
Hey, man, we worked hard to get that.
Yeah. You haven't, sir?
He's my friend.
Okay.
I just can't get over the fact that these little underlings of mine have given their god offerings.
Magnus is just kind of feeling the squishy stuff in his pockets, and he's just like, oh, wow, now I'm getting free stuff. You know, this is a great time for me. I come here, I'm making friends. I'm going on a hunt. Can you believe it? Now I've got free stuff.
It must be some sort of cultural, like, acceptance ritual. We should accept any fish guts they give us.
Roll a history check.
Natural 20 for 21.
Wow. Okay. With a natural 20, you know that the natives are just mischievous. Trickery is like one of the little things that they like to do. It's a nice, fun gesture.
That's me joshing all of you. I know that this is they're just being mischievous.
Mischievous, my ass. They are giving their god offerings.
Hey everyone, this is Dungeon Meister Paul, also known as Stunt Monkey Z on Twitter, with your beer break. I wanted to start this beer break to talk to you a little bit about a new podcast that I started listening to. It's called the Homebrew Podcast. It's a weekly sci-fi D&D podcast. Wait, is that right? You're telling me that someone took D&D and reskinned it as a sci-fi RPG? Okay, that's pretty epic. Anyway, they're currently playing a campaign called Absurdism and a Millennium Abroad. You ever listen to a Session Zero from another podcast? There's a lot of exposition and blah, blah, blah that goes along with it. Well, the Homebrew Podcast has by far the best Session Zero out there. They actually give you a ton of story without making it so monotone and lifeless. Trust us when we say that the Homebrew Podcast is worth your time and listenership. So be sure to give the Homebrew Podcast a listen. Smash that subscribe button and check out their Patreon for a ton of added value to their crazy adventure. And believe me, it's freaking nuts. Check out the Homebrew Podcast wherever you get your sweet, sweet ear candy. Okay, so we have a first watch with us.
Hi, I'm Andrew.
Andrew, great to have you, man.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Yeah,
Andrew, tell us about First Watch, man.
Awesome. So First Watch is a multi-camera web series playing D&D. So actual play, but we do edit it down multi-camera style. So all original world, very small party. We just have two players through most of the season and then some guests come in later on. One of our big things was we wanted to try a smaller party and stick with that, because when we first conceptualized the show, we kind of wanted to get away from the idea of, like, you know, five random adventurers and be more like, no, here's two monster hunters and they're doing their job and they're a unit and we follow their adventures.
That must really streamline things.
I think it moves pretty quick. Yeah. I mean, you know, combat for sure. Like you got to stay on your toes. You're not waiting around for your turn. And even the RP, it's a lot of just, you know, they make a quick conversation. They tell me what they want to do. There's not a lot of back and forth. So as long as everybody's, you know, on and keeping up with it, I think it keeps the energy up.
Nice.
So do you have like a whole lot of material already pre-recorded, or is it just something that you do and then you just piece it out, or how does that work?
Yeah, so at least for first season, what we did was we sat and we, you know, played for a solid weekend and filmed all the episodes in one go, and then had a little bit of a break. Actually did come back and film like the last couple of episodes later, but then we went into post-production. So we're all filmmakers by profession, and so we kind of applied that process and that skill set to making this thing. So we're looking at it a little more like, you know, like you would think of like television seasons, where we go through periods of production. And
yeah, that's honestly, that's the scary meeting
medium for me right now is video.
It's definitely a big heavy lift. And as I've been working with other podcasters and whatnot, because we turned our show into a podcast, I'm like, man, I would love to just have the audio to work with, but
yeah.
But we love the video component. For us, it's one of the things that gets us up, you know, out of bed in the morning for this. So yeah, we're gonna keep doing it.
And so it's just the three of you that do all that work?
Yeah, and so, you know, most of it lands on my plate, and it's kind of my baby. But yeah, no, we've got, you know, some great help on the camera side, and then work with a lot of different artists to help with, like, you know, the character art and some of the other stuff. So I can shoot and edit video, but I can't do all that other stuff.
I'd be more impressed if you could, but I'm glad that you're somewhat human. So that's awesome.
I've got my limitations for sure. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So I want to put this on the rails for just a touch. You do notice over by the mud pit, there's dozens of goblins enjoying a bath in the muddy lake. They talk, they laugh, and they dive in the ochre silt. It's about a 300-foot wide diameter hole, and it's not natural. It's like they made it. You do see this one character, this one goblin. See, he's kind of drunk, a little bit belligerent, but, you know, okay, Thalen, you do see him just talking about life and death and trying to conceive new devices. You quickly pick up he's a bit of a tinkerer, inventor or something, and you see him leaning back a little bit, just talking about,
yeah, see those water wheels, those mills? Yeah, I made that. I totally made that. I can do this all day long. I can definitely make those elevators work. You know, it's no biggie. Probably make them a little bit more efficient. That's how I roll.
I point him out to Second Lieutenant. Sir, that's the guy we want to talk to if we want any of this high-tech elevator stuff that they have going on.
Right.
Guy over there, yeah.
Let's swing by him on our way into the forest, shall we?
Oh, we're heading right now?
Are we not?
I'm asking, sir. I wasn't trying to...
Did we ask... You might want to let me mark this down on my map first.
Yep. Did we ask Bloom if he wants to, you know, lead the way?
Let's ask Bloom, and then we'll swing by the engineer.
Okay. You should ask the shaman for Bloom's help. Just...
Right.
Maybe. It's up to you.
It's dominoes. We'll start with the shaman.
Yes.
So, turn to the shaman. Good, madam. Bloom, could you point him out to us, and would he be willing to provide assistance?
And she just kind of quickly deliberates that, yes, he can help. He can definitely go along with everybody. Not a problem. And, yeah, what about the inventor?
We'll just kind of make our way towards him as we're maybe making our way out of the camp. And I'll ask Thalen to translate and just kind of ask him, oh, what you make these? Like, what can you tell us? Are you willing to share some information?
Yeah, sure thing. I can tell you all day long about these guys, man. I mean, it really comes down to the right sticks and stones. You know, they don't just break bones, am I right? Man. Anyway.
Sir, he's funny, too.
Oh.
He's a comedian.
I told the witch doctor, and she gave me this advice.
So the whole time, he just keeps pelting y'all with questions about your homeland.
Tell me where you're from. What of your technology? This is fantastic. Oof, this cushy is great, especially when you're rocking in the mud. Anyway, so tell me about, again, where are you from again? You got on that boaty thing there?
We gotta go.
Wait, where are you going? Come back. I got more questions.
We gotta go.
All right, well, you know what? I'll have my people talk to you. People will catch you on the way back, all right? If you come back. Anyway, so...
Turns around and starts talking to another one of the other goblins there in the mud pit. Do a quick intelligence check.
Mm-hmm. Do. Man, these okie dokie dice are owning it. Where's my intelligence? +3. All right, 17 total.
17, yeah, you can tell he's just drunk.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. He's drunk, sir. He may not actually be able to do any of that.
Anyway, so you keep walking out of town, and Thalen, you're talking to Bloom. That's B-L-U-M. And he looks at all of you and he says,
well, are we taking your boat or are we just going to walk it there?
Which way is faster?
If we're walking, or are we riding something that moves faster than our walking? Let me think here.
Oh, don't do that, Bloom. Don't do that. Same team, man. Same team. Are the undead in a place a boat can get to?
They can be.
Anybody else speak this guy's language?
Yeah. What do you want?
Oh, you speak this guy's language?
I understand what he's saying. My goblin's a bit rusty, but I understand it well.
Hey, who has the helm of comprehending languages, by the way?
That would be you.
Oh, I give that to Second Lieutenant.
Okay.
I forgot that I had that.
It's like for the very first time, there's like a little visible annoyance as he kind of puts it on. He's like, this would have been nice to have earlier.
It would have been nice to know yesterday.
Goodness, I was wondering when that was going to come into play. I'm like, guys, really?
I looked down at my notes and I was like, oh, there's a helm of comprehending language. Who did we give that to? I was hoping that I maybe had given it to somebody else, but deep down, I pretty much knew it was me who had it.
You're the only one that makes sense to have it, though.
Yeah, I'm going to need that back, sir, later.
Certainly. So with the helm on, I will begin to speak to Bloom.
You can understand him.
Oh, I can understand him. Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me actually get that added to my inventory here.
Temporarily.
Okay.
Sure.
So I will listen then into what Bloom is saying.
Okay. Bloom is saying, you just hear him start, he's still talking to Thelia, and he goes,
Dom Ozohor. Dom Ozohor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
What do you mean, what does it mean? It's Dom Ozohor.
I think he means it's a place.
Does he know where it is?
Well, the easiest thing to do here is follow these undead tracks back to their source.
We do that via boat.
No, sir. I think we have to do that by foot.
Right.
Because the tracks are in the ground.
Right. Not water tracks.
Yeah, not water tracks.
Right. Okay. Well, then if you would let Mr. Bloom here know, he can lead the way.
That part was just gas.
All right, so he's like,
yeah, we'll start. We'll go ahead and start.
So just real quick, everybody roll a flat d20.
Natural 20.
Six for Thelion.
13 for Agnes.
Okay.
Another natural one for Callus, but I just remembered I'm a halfling, so I'm re-rolling that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Ooh, nice.
And get a 12.
Oh, I gotta love that luck, man.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Wow, guys, this sucks, man, because I'd love to have everyone to come back and keep playing, but we're going to have to cut this one a little bit short. So here's what happens. You're on your way to Dom Ozohor, and talking to Bloom along the way, you get more information out of him, and it comes to find out that it's an obelisk is where you're headed to. While you're walking, you also realize that you're followed by... Oh, I'm going to roll this one. Hold on. Get to play with my dice now. There we go. Insta-death. 3, 4. While you're heading that way, you're followed by 48 zombies heading your way.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Your audio broke up.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. You're right. It did break up. That was 48 plus 50. So 98 zombies headed your way. Slowly lagging behind you, mind you. It's not like they're right on your heels or anything.
8 zombies. Got it. 9 to 8 zombies. Did you hear him? Yeah, I heard him. 9 to 8 zombies.
Yep. That's what we heard.
Yes. All right. So it could be 8 or it could be 9. Nobody look them in the eye.
Okay.
They're like toddlers.
See, everyone's passive perception
is awesome.
Who has higher than a 13?
Me, Thelion.
Awesome. Okay, so everybody does? Okay. So then y'all do notice ahead of you, there's a minotaur skeleton.
Is it moving?
You can tell it's kind of guarding.
Guards. Please tell me you see that.
Rock says that out loud to everyone.
Yes, we do. Let's fan out just a little bit, not too far apart. We don't want to get split up, but we don't want to group too much either.
Okay, since you said it out loud, it decides to charge at you, Brock. And it does a dashing maneuver, and it is now 40 feet away from you.
Got it.
Do we want to roll for initiative?
Yeah, I think it's that time.
I pull out my rapier.
I pull out my 20-sided dice.
Okay.
Thelion's initiative is a 15.
Rock 16. Got an 8.
11 for
Core. Go ahead.
11 for Lieutenant DiPaolo. Second Lieutenant DiPaolo.
Ezel Core with a 15.
And let's see. I'm sorry, Magnus, what'd you get?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had 16.
16. All right. Izzelcor and Thelion, roll a d6.
Mm-hmm.
Scissors.
12.
Okay.
3.
I rolled a 1, and Thelion rolled a 1.
No banana!
We could not have planned that any better. That was perfect.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Okay. All right, top of the order is going to be Magnus. You have the floor. You have a skeleton minotaur charging, or a minotaur skeleton charging at Rock.
Okay, I'm going to just dash in between Rock and the minotaur. So I'm going to get myself in between the two of them, and I'm going to get myself fired up. Magnus is getting extremely tense as he's like readying himself in between the you know, charging beast and the gnome. He's got his great axe firmly in his grips, and his muscles just seem to be popping as he's just getting really tense and just going, "I am getting very upset with the situation!" And he is now in a full-blown rage.
So you're flexing on an undead minotaur?
Yes.
That's legit. That is legit.
How close is the minotaur at this point?
If you charge and you're dashing at him?
Well, I dash not exactly. That was just sort of...
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so he is now 10 feet away from you.
Okay. I'm going to take a swing at the minotaur with my great axe.
Alrighty.
So let me find my D8. So, I've got, but I've got rage, so I've got advantage. Oh, okay, that, no, forget that.
Oh, hold on, dude.
That's a 12.
A 12 hits.
Oh, thank God.
Sounded so defeated with the rolls.
Yeah, like, oh.
I have had the worst luck with these dice. I think I've rolled more between 1 to 5 than I have anything else.
You know what you should do? You should let us know what your rolls are as you roll them. Sometimes the audio doesn't catch happen properly, and yeah, it's just better if we know what you rolled.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Well, the first time it was a natural 9, so and then the second time it was a 3. So yeah, but anyway.
So you rolled a 19 on the first one?
No, I rolled a 9, but then it
sounded like 19 to me.
Sounded like 19 to me. Yeah.
Audio.
That's bad audio. Yeah,
bad audio, man. That shit happens.
Yeah. Hashtag bad audio.
Yeah, 19. Got it.
All right.
19.
Okay.
So because it's a 19, isn't it like double damage anyway for a second level barbarian? Yeah. That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So was that 4d12, right?
Oh, gosh. That's a lot.
It is d12 for great axe, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I'm thinking battle axe. Sorry. Okay. So we've got 7 on the first roll. And then 2, so 9.
Keep going. 4d12.
Oh, 4d12. Oh. 6. 5.
Damn. Okay.
20 points of damage, damn.
That's a lot. Yeah. You know, and I'll be honest, that was my bad. I think I gave you the stats for the Great Axe for the Minotaur Skeleton, but that's all right. Well, I already called it, so I got to keep it.
Yep.
My bad.
Remember, you got a Great Axe because you're great, not a Battle Axe because you're not...
Battle. Really noticed. All right, next up.
I've got a great axe because I believe in myself.
Doggone it. People like me.
Izzelcor, you are up, sir.
All right, well, I'm going to take my quarterstaff out, and I'm going to cast Shillelagh on it. Mm-hmm. Which basically just gives me a nice little boost to that for those that don't know what that is. And so I'm just going to go ahead and hit this guy.
Okay.
And that's going to be a 17 plus 3, so that's going to be a dirty 20.
Dirty 20 hits.
Awesome. And then rolling that damage. So that's going to be another 5 points of damage.
Okay, cool. Next up is Thelion.
All right, I'm going to remind the second lieutenant that we had a horde of 8 to 9 zombies behind us and that we should probably not let them catch up to us while we're battling this undead minotaur. And then I'm going to take a shot with my longbow at the undead minotaur. And I rolled a 23 to hit.
That barely hits, man.
Does it? Barely hit? Damn it. I should have made a cult shot.
Almost just grazed it, man. Almost.
5 points of damage.
What was that?
5 points of damage.
What, did you roll a one on the damage?
No, I only have a +2 on that.
That's it?
Or no, longbow. It's 1d8 +2. I rolled a 6. Hold on.
There you go. Yeah.
7 points of damage.
That sounds better. That sounds more legit. Okay, cool. Man, lucky for you, I'm checking these things.
Oh, yeah. No, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure.
For once.
That's only because we have, you know, two guests. But anyway, so Second Lieutenant DePaulo, you have the floor, sir.
All right. So the Second Lieutenant will straighten up a little bit and point his rapier out at the Minotaur. And he will, with a fairly commanding, albeit shrill voice, Magnus, again! And I will use my superiority die to use Commander Strike, foregoing my action and allowing Magnus to use his reaction to attack again.
Oh, god dang.
Nice.
That's not very fair for the Minotaur.
So Magnus, you'll attack, and if you hit, you'll add 5 points of additional damage to your strike.
Jeez.
Oh, in that case, after hearing the order, Magnus looks over his shoulder and just shouts out, "Danke, mein Leutnant!" And I take another. that was a 14. Yep, it's a 14.
That hits.
Oh, that hits, okay. And here we go. That's a 9. 3. 5. 5 again. So 9, 3, triple 5.
23.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Wait, +5, 28. I forgot the extra 5.
And then there's a +2 for rage as well on damage.
Okay, did you add that +2 to your first roll?
I did not, no.
Okay, I can do that now.
Really, 29 points of damage.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm having a wonderful time, you guys.
As you say that, you see the Minotaur skeleton begin to buckle, and there's just cracks all over its whole skeletal body. And Rock, you're looking at this thing, and you're not really sure how it's being held together at this point. You can tell it's about to fall apart. You have the floor.
So I'm going to grab my trident that was given to me, so I'm going to smash it with my trident for a natural 20.
And that's a miss. No. Go for it.
Yes! All right, so for the trick, it's going to be first 6 plus 1, 7 points of damage, and I'm going to use my bonus action to cast a cantrip and shoot it with Firebolt.
Okay.
That's 15 to hit.
And with a 15, well, yeah, that hits. So here's what happens. Your first hit just shatters everything, and you just pulverize the Minotaur skeleton. And then at the same time, to add insult to injury, you turn all this pile of brittle bone into ash with your second attack there.
Nice.
And so as you're doing that, from behind all of you, you see Bloom just like, and he just slowly lowers down his longbow because he was about to strike next and he already killed it.
Yeah.
But what about all of the undead that were following us? Anybody look?
Let's move. Let's move.
Well, they're still following you, but again, they're like Michael Jackson slow, you know, Thriller slow. They're not necessarily
Shaun of the Dead slow or...
Slower than that. They're Michael Jackson Thriller slow. You know what I mean?
They have to do with their musical number bit first.
Yeah.
Do we get to dance with them a little bit?
Well, you can roll a performance check if you want to do that.
But I used to be a bard. Don't tempt me.
I'm just saying. Point is, though, is that they're moving that slow. They're not as fast as like World War Z fast.
Okay. 28 days later.
Yeah, there you go. Not like that fast. They're okay. Whew, trudging along. They are approaching. They're just, like I said, not super fast.
Like Austin Powers, like, get out of the way.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, Magnus. Is this axe a little bit nicer than yours?
Oh, no. There's no finer axe than mine. You know why? Because it's a great axe, and I made it myself.
It's
very nice.
I also turn over to the hunter, and I'm just like, by the way, our kills count as mine, so that's mine.
I'm going to call this episode, "You Got a Great Axe, and I Like Your Weapon, Too."
Brock picks up the Minotaur's great axe, and I walk it over towards... Bloom. Here, this is for you.
Ooh, are the horns still on the Minotaur?
No, that's all pulverized.
Oh, motherfucker.
Yeah. So he looks at Rock. And he just says,
"I'll take your axe. but this doesn't get him out of his bed.
That bed's between you and him. This is just because here.
He says,
then you must know that this means you're my bitch now.
Shit, yes. Prison don't, rules.
Don't make me bring out my snake.
Lieutenant Deep Hollow, understanding all of this.
Prison rules.
As you see, Snake kind of slowly uncoils and kind of just eyeballs him. And I turn and walk away.
Prison rules.
Man, let's get moving. We gotta get stay ahead of these zombies.
Oh, but, you know, there's that goblin with the great axe looks very adorable. Can we not appreciate the moment?
Appreciate later. Run now.
Okay. But I do this under protest.
Appreciate in haste.
I think if we would have waited any longer, they would have kissed.
And this is not that kind of movie.
You can cut the tension with a great axe.
That's great.
As long as they're not kissing the snake.
I don't know.
Well, the snake isn't French. I think we're good. So anyway, everybody roll a perception check.
Ooh, yeah, I can do that.
16.
Nat 20. Ooh. 24 total.
19 for Rock.
I just got a 12.
19 for Magnus.
Okay, so basically everybody except Izzelkor, you notice that the tracks stop, and while Izzelkor is looking around, trying to find tracks along the ground or shrubs, it's a broken shrub or something, everyone else looks up, and you can tell that the canopy above you from the jungle is very dense, but something tells you that if you go up there, you'll find your answer.
Hope it's no phase-shifting spiders.
Yeah, with your score, you can tell there's no shifting spiders around here, no phase
thank
spiders.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Second Lieutenant, we should go up.
We should go up. Up we go.
Why the hell are we going up?
Because it's... yes.
Because yes.
As my three-year-old would say, because yeah.
Because yeah.
Okay, well, you can stay down here with the zombies if you like.
You know what? That is sound logic.
Thank you.
Okay, so everybody climbs up, and you do see an entrance to this ginormous obelisk hanging there above the canopy, that dense canopy there. There are a couple of tentacles that are kept in pristine condition, and you can tell that this obelisk is, to give you a range, this sucker is huge. It's 600 feet high. The base of it is about a 50-foot square base. On the rails, you can see the entrance. You're able to get into the obelisk. You see that there are some undead that are created specifically for just maintaining its appearance. It's a very pristine-looking obelisk. So, again, at the end of Shaun of the Dead, when they put the zombies to work, that's what you're seeing right here.
Yeah, they're probably sailors.
So, below the obelisk, you see these tentacles, three purple tentacles, as thick as the trees around, dig through the ground and leave large grooves behind. They originate from a floating structure above, hanging to the ground, doing their work. Small balconies are visible at the base of the obelisk above, leading up to an entrance in the wall. Okay, Second Lieutenant Deep Hollow, acrobatics check.
That is an 11.
I'm sorry, you got bad audio. What was that?
That was an 11.
I'm not hearing it. I'm sorry, I got real bad audio going through. What was that?
It sounded like a 17.
Yeah, I heard 17.
17. With a 17, you make it onto the entrance ledge, and you're able to get the rest of the party onto the obelisk right away.
Perfect. So glad I rolled that.
Thanks, LT. Appreciate that.
Good job, Lieutenant.
Really coming in clutch there, especially with my bad knees.
Oh, just happy that I can help the group.
All right. So from here, there are several different levels. We're going to go right over the tentacle port, which is the portion that you came in through. There's a crystal chamber. There is a study and laboratory, and there is a bridge. So let's say you explore all the other ones. I'm just going to go by these real quick. The tentacle port, surrounded by a spiral staircase, the tentacles intertwine and rise up to the ceiling. And through a hole, the staircase is made of the same fleshy material as the tentacles, simply growing from the stem. A few zombies work on the black walls, caressing the structure with their hands and tongues. Ugh, nasty. And then crystal chamber. Four gigantic crystals stand embedded in the corners of this room. They radiate black light and invert your shadows, bending your vision in erratic ways. The black outline of a radiant zombie stands before each crystal, their arms fused with the tormentous whirling innards of the iridescent gems. Damn, dude. So this adventure is supposed to be a little bit more serious, a little bit more like hardcore, but
we're us.
We're us, exactly. Okay, so then the study and laboratory, impossibly high bookshelves are embedded into the walls of this room, stacked with thousands of books. Strange equipment stands on a large table, including winding glass pipes, spheres, and coils. A gray fleshy sack hovers in the room, only a few feet above the table. Okay, not below the table, otherwise it would have been something else. And many eye stalks grow from its rotund form, but the eyes are closed. So you find out that that's... actually, no, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to leave that for the listeners to buy this adventure and see what the thing is.
Dun, dun, dun.
Got to leave something, man. Okay, so then the bridge, the next part up. The winding tentacles culminate in a flesh cushioned throne on which an undead creature resides. It wears golden shining armor and all kinds of jewelry. Manifold weapons, trinkets, and several heads adorn the walls. When you enter, the heads begin to whisper.
Are they saying anything specific, or is it just like incoherent babbling?
Incoherent babbling to everybody. So let me see. I'm sorry, what languages does everybody speak again? Top of the order, Rock.
Umman, Druidic, Gnomish, Infernal, Undercommon, Goblin.
Okay, Lieutenant Deepolo.
Common Halfling.
Izzelcor.
Common, Draconic, Druidic, and Undercommon.
Magnus.
Common and Orcish.
And last and least, Thelion.
That was uncalled for. Common, Elvish, Goblin, and whatever language I need to speak at this point.
Okay.
But second out.
Well, I've got the helm of comprehend languages on.
So Lieutenant has it?
Yes. Yes, you do.
Oh, okay. Cool. Now, you see this character. It asks all of you, but Lieutenant, you're the second lieutenant. You're the only one that can understand it. Ask.
You have come to bring presents or become servants.
It wants to know if we have a present or if we're here to be servants to it.
I pull out my fish guts. Well, you know, just discounts.
Try.
Well, I am present.
All right, so do you want to... Let me see what the fish gets. Do you want to do a... I guess that would be a perception check. Or no, sorry, a persuasion check, a performance check, or a deception check. You know what? Let's do deception because you're just like, yeah, this is a present.
Yeah.
That's the ticket.
Brannigan diplomacy.
All right, roll deception.
Oh, okay, 19.
Ooh, nice.
So not going to be enough, is it?
Tell me it's enough. Tell me it's enough.
Oh, let's see. It worked.
Yes!
Oh, weird, great, mighty thing. I'm really in over my head here. I'm but a modest half-orc warrior. I have these fish guts. You know, it's kind of dead. I think you'd like it. It fits in with everything else here.
Very well.
It says it's going to take them.
Oh, thank God.
Of course she's going to take them. Who wouldn't want a bunch of fish guts?
Well, I'll start pulling the fish guts out of my pocket and offering them as well.
What does everyone else do?
Going to need some fish guts, guys.
I already fed mine a snake.
It's fish guts. Come on.
See, it's from all of us. It's a present from all of us. I didn't buy one, right?
Okay, then, oh, great, horrible thing, I cannot comprehend, for your vastness, I give you a collective gift from my comrades and I, this fish, the guts of the fish.
Okay, he takes all the fish, I guess.
Woo!
See, okay, so then, he's very moved by your gesture, and, let me see, Second Lieutenant Deepolo. What you hear is this guy say,
I sat here, motionless, for several centuries. I haven't had visitors in such a long time. Long time. Your gesture moves me very much so. I think I will let you go.
He's very grateful for the fish guts, and he will let us pass.
Yes, sir. He said he's going to let us go, but we want the undead to go also.
We do. I can understand him. I can't speak whatever language this is, but I suppose I can. And so in common, because that's all I got, I'll be like, oh, great being, if we have appeased you so much,
Would you also consider retracting the undead that are blighting this land?
Roll a persuasion check, man.
Please, say please.
Please.
With advantage.
As the dice is coming out of my hand. That is a 17.
Ooh.
So this guy, he says,
"My name is Ozahor, and I shall leave this place and find a new home."
And still barely moving, it just twitches its forearm from its chair, and you see this amulet fall from, it kind of looks like it was just sitting still, like right on top of his hand. He just shook it off, and you hear the clink of his amulet, and he stands up, slowly walks over towards all of you, and again, he's been sitting for a long time, and so then you can tell that he has this armor that's on him, and he just slowly starts to rise, and as he's rising up, the armor falls off of him and just clanks again on the floor. And you notice that each one of these rooms, like each room is 150 feet high, so he just starts going up and up and up. The whole place starts to shake and tremble, and with the hat that you have on, you can hear all the heads on the walls all whispering, saying that
they are free to go, but if they don't go, they will go with us.
We're moving. Everyone out right now. Let's go.
I grab that amulet.
Okay. That is...
I'm not going anywhere until I mark this spot on my map.
All right. Roll survival.
Got it.
Okay. What does got it mean? What'd you get?
Oh, with a 22.
You missed it. No, kidding. Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's out. Let's go.
Okay, so you grab the amulet?
Yes, I grab the amulet.
Okay, Second Lieutenant Deep Hollow, you do notice that armor.
Is it, like could I pick it up and kind of, like, grab it? Or being a halfling, is it too much for me to carry?
Rock will help him carry it.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, okay, there you go.
Help.
And what, halfling armor? Of course we could stop and get the halfling armor.
Too many questions. Pick up armor and let's go. No time.
Do it now.
Out of the obelisk.
All right, so everybody roll a... let's go with acrobatics. They're going to make this a comedy routine here.
Ooh, an 8 for Thalion.
21 for Rock.
Oh, gosh.
I, too, got an 8.
I got a 7.
Yeah. I got a 6.
Rock. Rock is helping the second lieutenant because he's right next to him. And I got a 20. I got a 22.
He drew him.
And there's no magic users amongst y'all, right?
Yeah, I am.
I can use magic.
Okay. So then everybody is stumbling down the tentacles, and it's just ooh, like that whole scene from the Princess Bride when they're sliding down the side of the cliff.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just imagining Magnus doing like that old Daffy Duck routine where he's being like Robin Hood, but he keeps swinging on the vine and slamming into trees.
That is precisely what happens. And then you see the obelisk begin to rise up. And as it's rising up, all the undead that are around, they just all drop to the ground. A quick assessment, you can tell that all these undead are completely dead now and just running away. Thielen, you can tell that the amulet is an amulet of proof against detection and location. Second Lieutenant, you can tell that the breastplate is made out of gold. And just a quick look at it, you can tell it's worth about 1,000 gold pieces. And I think that's about all you can take from there. And Bloom looks at everybody and starts talking to Thielen. You can tell that, you know, he's just looking right at you and he's like,
"Come. I'm going to go back to Mugdor and report all of this."
So fast forward, everybody goes back to Mugdor. You talk to Lirnlin, that's the shaman, and everyone is overjoyed. She promises the expeditionaries the help of Mugdor. This entails sending supplies to Camp Cade, offering refuge for traveling soldiers, and sending a scout with any expeditions upstream with them. So at this point, you have all this information to go back to Camp Cade. What do you want to do?
Well, men, let's get on the Kraken and report back.
Let's do it.
Rock wants to grab those herbs for Hallie before I head out.
Okay. And Magnus?
Magnus is just, you know, he's happy to climb aboard the boat. He gives a very sort of respectful nod to Bloom as he boards. And he turns to Lieutenant DiPaolo and he says, "You know, I think this is probably my favorite outfit. You know, it's my first day and it's been pretty exciting."
It's my first day too. It's been quite a day.
Yeah, that is something we have in common. Yeah.
And yep. Izzelcore, you have the last word as the boat starts pulling away.
Well, I get up and I tell the new guys, oh, you haven't seen nothing yet.
And you see all the kids chanting, yay!
And the boat freeze frames.
Hey, LT, I'm going to need that helm back.
Oh, yes, yes, helmet. There you go. Armor, there you go.
Magnus takes his position up at the front of the boat again, but he like puts one fist in the air like, you know, at the end of the Breakfast Club.
Yes.
Don't you forget about me. All right, so then fast forward to Camp Cade. You report all your exploits to Lieutenant Blunt, and he has everyone stand at attention. First thing he does is he goes up to Second Lieutenant Callis Deep Hollow, and he presents you with 2 silver bars. So you're now captain.
Ah, thank you, sir.
So you climb 2 ranks right away because right from the get-go, you're able to prove yourself. You created aid with some locals, and that's a very huge step for us here on base.
I couldn't have done it without the contribution of each and every man under my command.
And so with that, he moves over to Felion, and he gives you the rank of Private First Class. So you've now moved up to level 3.
Hooray!
And he moves on to Magnus. He's heard of your exploits. He's heard of everything you've been able to do to help out and create a sense of brotherhood with the Goblin Hunters. And you have been moved up to E3 as well. So that's level 3. And goes up to Izzelcore. You've done outstanding work. So you also move up to E3 as well, level 3. And Rock. He says, sorry, man, we ran out of... No, here you go. Here's your rank as well. Level 3.
Thank you, sir.
And with that, he also gives everybody a couple days off from having to do patrols before y'all go on your next mission.
Hooray!
Yay!
Nice. It was rejoicing.
Hooray! And that's it for this one.
Awesome.
Sweet.
And yeah. So ends another episode.
Good work, everybody.
Yeah,
that was a good time.
That was fun.
Well, thank you so much, everybody, for hanging out for this little adventure here. We're playing through Blackwater Redux, written by Christian Eichhorn, and we just finished up Chapter 2 when everybody just made a 3rd level. Congratulations.
Yay.
Awesome. Congrats, everybody.
Good thank deal. You.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one. Have a good night. Have a good morning. Enjoy the rest of the time, and we'll reconvene here for the next one.
Sounds good.
Andrew, one more time, thank you so much for hanging out with us for a little bit, man. Love to have you back.
Yeah, no, thank you. This was a lot of fun. You guys are a blast, and would love to be back sometime.
All right, next time I'll try to kill your guy, I swear.
Please do.
All right, y'all have a good night.
Good night. All right. All right, until next time.